Hey, Ian. So just thinking back on the recording that I sent you that you've not listened to yet, and don't think it's really got anything that you could probably use for a cold open. So I thought you'd send you this, and you can use this. Fun fact, and I didn't mention this in the record, but basically had been thinking about obviously an idea for a solo record since you suggested it when we spoke last. Clearly was thinking about it when I went to bed. And I dreamt not only the subject for this episode, but also all three choices. So probably says more about me than you or anyone else, really. But yeah, thought you should know. Thought everyone should know. And you know, there you go. There's your cold open. Cha-ching.
You guys are making a podcast. No one asked for this.
So, welcome to the podcast Nobody Asked For with me, Graham Jones. And just me. And we'll get on to that in a bit. But this is the podcast Nobody Asked For, the podcast where we argue about our top three lists of a topic that nobody asked us to talk about. We've each bought three picks to talk through, and then we'll be figuring out the podcast Nobody Asked For's official top three. Except we won't, because none of that is happening, because it's just me and Ian isn't here. Where is Ian? What have I done with him? Where is the body buried? Of course not. He's fine. That's just a little joke. We have had a number of... basically, I've been away a lot for work, and then I'm going away a lot of holiday, and none of this is actually Ian's fault, because he is available and around. But because of my lack of availability, we are struggling to find times where we can both record when I am about. And so basically... I've decided to do one of these solo things. Well, actually, Ian suggested it. He's done a couple and figured it was probably time for me. So I can just record it, chuck it over to him. He'll work his magic, his editing magic. I'm sure he'll chuck a couple of jingles in here. I'll just mention Harley now so he can has an excuse to jump, drop a jingle in and make it feel like he's doing some work. Father! The podcast wanted to adopt a son. Ian told Graham he had just the one. Our boy Harley from the Fundamental Show. But Ian, why did you name him so? Graham, I really truly don't know. I'm here, Papa. And yeah, so that's the plan. That's why you're stuck with me this week. I'm going to do things a little bit differently. I know Ian has previously focused on like things that he couldn't do with me, or felt that he couldn't do with me, like talking all about boats and history and boring things like that. Now, that was clearly Ian putting his degree to work, putting to work the fact that he has a history degree, and you know, he reminds us all on a at least semi-regular basis that that's the case. Now, I don't have a history degree, so I won't be boring you with anything about boats or tanks or Lord Admiral Nelson. But, and it's not really degree, I suppose it is degree related to a degree, in the sense that my undergrad was psychology, and this is really going to be a healing episode. But more than that, I think I without boring you with my CV, I went from my undergrad in psychology, I went and did a master's in marketing and management, and I guess it's led to me to a place in my career where I'm basically doing a lot of strategic project management stuff, and if we really boil that down, we're problem solving. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to problem solve. And what problem are we solving? Well, Ian's not here, and I feel if he was, he'd probably chip in a little bit too much, and try and argue his point. And actually, what sometimes we need to do when we are healing and solving our problems is just to listen. And so he's going to have to listen to this at least once in order to do the edit. And then I'm sure he'll listen to it again once it's live, just because. So what I'm going to be doing today, I'm just going to stick with the top three theme, but I'm going to discuss the top three ways we can solve Ian's issue with Welsh rugby. And not so much, I guess Ian's issue with Welsh rugby is probably unfair, but the issue with Welsh rugby that is causing him sadness. So much sadness that there are animated, AI-generated GIFs of a sad Ian drinking a pint alone in a pub, purely as a result of what the Welsh rugby team has done to him. So, I won't get into those straight away because we need to have a little bit of an intro. Ian needs something to play around with for a cold open and all that kind of thing. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about what I know about rugby, and that is very slim. So I'm gonna talk about what I know about rugby. I'm probably going to make a load of stuff up. I'm going to talk about some of the things I still don't understand, and maybe you can chime in the comments or send me a text to tell me how much of an idiot I am. But my understanding of rugby, there's three types, right? You have union, which is what we'll be mostly discussing today, league, which only the Northerners like, and sevens, which is like fun union, I guess. It's not quite to the degree of cricket where we're reinventing the sport every 5 years, trying to come up with a different way of doing things to make it vaguely interesting. I think listener of the pod, Neil, has a particular favourite in the 100, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll go back to rugby union because that's what we're talking about. That's where Ian's passion lies, and that's where the Welsh team that's caused him so much pain ply their trade. So what do I know about rugby union? I know that there are 15 players in a team. I know they do this weird thing where they will announce the squad like days in advance. And not just the squad, but who's playing where and who's starting, which I find bizarre as a football fan, because the idea, like, that's something that's keeping your back pocket in football, right? Whether or not you're playing, you know, a certain striker up front, whether or not you're playing a different formation, gives away so much information. Maybe that's less of a thing in rugby, I don't know. But I still find it very odd that you'd kind of show your hand so early. I don't know if it's a required thing, if like the RFU or whoever requires you to announce these things so early, or if it's a choice thing, or if it's a respect thing. I don't know. Respect's a weirdly important thing in rugby. They like to wear ties afterwards and you know, and make sure that whilst they're drinking each other's piss, they're dressed in nice blazers. But yeah, so 15 players, announce squads early. They play for 80 minutes. They want to score tries, basically. A try is, I believe, 5 points, conversions, 2 points, I think. And then you can also kick penalties, but it's basically a field goal. Let's not kid ourselves. And I think that's worth 3 points, but I could be wrong. That might only be worth 2 points. Person with the highest score wins, obviously. You can only throw the ball backwards, so it's like a less fun version of American football. You can get yellow cards, which take you out of the game for 10 minutes. Red cards take you out completely. If this was an American sport, when someone was knocked out for 10 minutes, it would definitely be like a rugby power play. But it's not that, because the Americans aren't very good at rugby, I don't believe. What else do I know about rugby? I know, obviously, that Wales aren't doing very well at the moment because Ian's always sad. I know that, pretty sure South Africa won the last World Cup. I know that because my neighbour is South African and I could hear it through the wall, even though we weren't watching it. I know that they have rugby tots. That's a thing. My son isn't going to be playing that because I value his brain too much. They have, obviously, the Rugby World Cup. They have the Six Nations. They have the Autumn Internationals, which I think have been rebranded something else. There's a bunch of Premiership teams. In London, I believe Exeter have got a good team. I used to go and watch London Irish every now and then when they played at the... I saw them a lot. I used to be the hospitality manager at London Irish when they played at Reading when I was at uni there. And then they also moved to the Brentford Stadium, and I saw them a couple of times there. But I still didn't really know what was going on. But, you know, it's an opportunity to watch some sport and drink some beer. So from that perspective, I kind of get it. And also, at least it's not cricket. Yeah, I think that probably ends my knowledge of rugby. I don't dislike it as a sport, and I'll watch it if it's on TV, but I would not necessarily go out of my way to watch it. I've played it a few times with Ian's club, did a bit of training. People didn't really explain it too well to someone in their 30s who's never really played it before, so that was a bit frustrating, which is why I didn't actually play much. And also I injured myself. I managed to rip the cartilage away from my pelvis, which isn't a thing I knew you could do, but that was very painful. So yeah, rugby. So before we get into the three ways, the top three ways in which Ian can cure his sadness that Welsh rugby has afflicted him. I guess a movie recommendation that nobody asked for is in order.
I assume you guys are here for a movie recommendation.
No, thank you. Nah, I'm fine.
I'm all right, actually. Thanks,
mate.
I'm fine.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Fuck off.
I'm going to go for a sports movie, obviously, and because we're trying to figure a way that Ian can deal with life, possibly away from rugby, at least away from Welsh rugby, we're going to focus on a movie that includes a person who is synonymous with their sport, at least briefly being away from that, and that is Space Jam, where Michael Jordan is briefly playing baseball or golf. I can't remember. I think he played baseball in real life. Anyway, he gets sucked back in, plays basketball again against a bunch of aliens, which maybe that's how Ian falls in love with rugby again. Maybe the Welsh team need to play some aliens, but who knows? And maybe, probably not actually. I was going to say maybe a certain someone needs to be on the soundtrack again, but that's probably not a good idea. Anyway, and if you don't want to watch Space Jam, then obviously Ari Aster's Midsommar, because it's great. And also, it's a good distraction from what I would say, given the faces I've seen Ian make as a result of Welsh rugby and the faces I've seen Ian make as a result of watching Midsommar, I'd suggest Midsommar is less horrifying than the current state of Welsh rugby. So with that in mind, watching Midsommar probably would be a good thing for Ian right about now. Right, so with that, we're going to get into the choices proper. And because it's just me, the next pick is the first pick, and the first pick is mine because it is just me. How do we approach this? So I was thinking of a few different ways that we could go about looking at how to overcome just for kind of people, I'm sure if you're listening to the podcast, you're aware, but I think Wales have been historically bad of late. They've won one game in their last 20 something. That was against Japan. They are not good. They had a winning streak that lasted, a losing streak that I believe lasted 17 games, which is a lot. So with all of that in mind, I figured one of the ways that we can look at moving away from a Welsh team that has a massive losing streak is seeing a Welsh team that is maybe doing better. It might be a different sport, and in this case it very much is a different sport, but my logic here is that we move from rugby to football. We're not going to go Welsh national football because, let's be real, they're not very good either. But the global sensation that is Wrexham football club, obviously since they were taken over by Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, have had an extreme rise up the leagues, back-to-back-to-back promotions, so three consecutive promotions, which I looked into this, right? So three consecutive promotions is insane. It's unprecedented. It's not something that we expect. So we've got a run of promotions here, yeah, of three. The last time Wales, the national rugby team that is causing Ian so much pain and despair, managed to piece together three consecutive wins. So not three consecutive promotions or anything crazy, three consecutive cups, but three consecutive wins was in 2019. So they, it was, to be fair, on a decent run of, I think, 14 wins in a row. But the last time they had three wins in a row was the end of that streak, which was March 2019 against Scotland, the March 2019 against Ireland, and then August 2019 against England. So since then, we've not had any runs of three, runs of three wins in a row for the Welsh national team.
Hey guys, I don't know if it's future Ian or editor Ian or Ian who's sitting here listening to an episode which Graham refused to tell me the topic of until he'd completed it and sent it to me, so I'm kind of just listening to this along with you guys. But either way, I'm Ian, and I'm just coming for a little bit of a correction corner. Not to say that Graham's not doing very well. He is, and we're all very proud of him going out solo on his own, recording an episode. It's very good, and I'm glad I could help with this little project. But Graham said it's been since 2019 since Wales won more than three games in a row, and that is false. So in 2019 we did win three games in a row. That would be the 2019 World Cup. We beat Georgia, Wales, Fiji, Uruguay, and France. But then, in 2021, we had a streak of five games, which was during COVID. So we beat Italy, Ireland, Scotland, England, and Italy, which was fine. But also, unfortunately, that was the jammiest Six Nations ever, where I think, on average, we played teams of 14 men because people kept getting red carded immediately in those games, which was nice and good. So you could argue that doesn't count, in which case it would be since 2019. But luckily, since then, in the 2023 World Cup, we won four games back-to-back, but also that was Fiji and then Portugal, and Portugal, I don't think, have a professional rugby team, so that was playing like janitors and stuff, and then Australia and then Georgia. So you could also argue that doesn't count, which would mean the last time we kind of rightly, inarguably won three in a row would be 2019. But if we're just going for the facts rather than the spirit of the statement, Graham is wrong and he should be ashamed. Yeah, so, God, this makes me sad.
To put that in context, that was August of 2019. 10th of February 2021, so we're talking 18 months later, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney bought Wrexham. And then since buying Wrexham, they have had the three consecutive promotions. So all I'm saying here is that Wales, if you're comparing a plucky Welsh football team that's doing very well, that were in the conference, right? The as low as you can go before slipping out into obscurity, let's say, in the football pyramid, to the championship. They did that. They had a 2-year gap, and then they managed all of that, and Wales still have not got three wins in a row. So with that in mind, I think this is the route to go down. I was looking at maybe other sports. I was trying to figure out, okay, are there other sports where Wales is considered world class, so we could kind of make a pivot there. But in looking into it, it seems that the most recent sport where a Welshman has won a world title was the darts. Gerwin Price, the PDC world champion in 2021. There's also a historically good boxing, I guess, dynasty, is that the right word? Probably not, in Wales. But also because you've got a sport where Ian not only likes to watch and support, he also likes to play. And I don't think we need to get Ian being punched on the regular. So I think we stick with sport. I think we go to Wrexham. Football and rugby, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, right? They're the two kind of main team sports that are big in the UK. He obviously likes It's Always Sunny. He likes Deadpool. Like, everything's adding up, really. It's Welsh. I know he's not from near Wrexham, but also, let's be real, he's mostly from England as well. So it lets him kind of keep Welsh sport, but also one that is a team that is doing very well. It's globally known. I was in Florida a couple of weeks ago. They were selling Wrexham shirts in a sport shop in Disney Springs that also was basically only selling stuff from the biggest teams on around the globe, like, you know, PSG, Man City, Man United, Barcelona, etc. So it feels like it's going from one extreme to the other. And yeah, I think, you know, he knows a bit about football. He supported Tottenham a bit when he was a kid before he realised he didn't prefer rugby, I think is correct. If not, Futurian, you can edit something in there. And yeah, ultimately football's a better game as well. Just going to throw it out there. Watched by more people, it's more widely enjoyed. I think there's more skill involved. And not only that, currently Wrexham are in the same league as Watford. So that's at least two day trips a year that he and I can have to go to the football and being on opposing sides. And yeah, I think this is a strong contender that essentially, in order to save Ian from Welsh rugby, we're converting him to Welsh club football in the shape of Wrexham, who, let's be honest, are probably the hottest ticket in town when it comes to Welsh sport at the moment. And yeah, I think it's a solid first choice. So we looked at sport change. The other option, or one of the other options, obviously, is to keep within the sport, so within rugby, but to switch the team. Now, I know this is difficult because Ian proudly identifies as Welsh, despite being, you know, born and grown up a stone's throw away from myself in England. That's the obvious flip, but I put him in an England rugby top at his stag do, and I could see he didn't quite like it. So I've done some digging, and I'm trying to understand where it would make sense to have an alternative national rugby team for Ian. So the first step here was to see if we could pick out anything from Ian's history, at least his family history. So I asked ChatGPT to estimate his likely nationality as Ian Harries. And annoyingly, it said it's most probably Welsh. It's common in Scotland and Wales. It's a distinctively Welsh surname. So Ian is common in Scotland and Wales, and Harries is a distinctively Welsh surname, most so strongly associated with South West Wales. It's a patronymic surname derived from Harry, similar to Harris, but Harries is heavily concentrated to Wales. So the likely breakdown, 70 to 80% likelihood that Ian Harries is a Welsh name. English is 10 to 20%, Scottish, Irish, very low. Other countries, negligible. However, this led me on, right, so we're not going to pick anything, A, because I think all of the countries in and around Wales and the UK are probably a little bit too close to home. It's kind of like, you know, it'd be like someone telling me to go root for Luton. It's never going to happen. But something you have less with club sport, but obviously with national sports, where nationalities have emigrated and moved and throughout the years, is there is a Welsh diaspora. There are concentrated areas of Welsh people around the world. The major regions, the US, particularly in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Utah, but they, to me, if we're talking, right, you're going out of the frying pan and into the fire by going to support USA rugby. They don't really know what's going on there, right? Canada is up there as well. So particularly in Ontario and British Columbia, a lot of it was industrial migration. God, no, I've done an Ian. I'm into history. But it's kind of dispersed. There's no kind of hot spots of places. There's some people in Australia, so from some of the miners went over there, similar with New Zealand, and then there are smaller communities in places like South Africa, UAE, and other parts of the US. However, there is one place where the Welsh communities have been are not only still there, but there is still the strong cultural connection. In a lot of places it became quite anglicized, whereas in Argentina, particularly Patagonia, there is a place called the Chubut province, and there is still not only concentrations of Welsh people, but you have Welsh language is still there. I think it's probably the highest proportion of Welsh language speakers outside of Wales. There are Welsh tea houses. There's about 5,000 to 10,000 active Welsh speakers in Patagonia, in this area of Patagonia today. And coupled with this, not only is Argentina culturally Welsh, or at least has a Welsh cultural centre, Argentina are also a pretty good rugby team. So they, I believe, are currently, let's see where they are currently in the world. So I actually also thought, I had this conversation when Argentina beat Wales the other day, actually, that I thought Argentina are a bit crap at rugby, but it turns out they're a bit of a powerhouse, according to Ian. So they are ranked. You can chuck a Google jingle in here, Ian.
Time to Google.
We are
searching
stuff online because we did not do enough research for this episode. Or we did enough research. Six overall. I'm in the men's game. I am looking down from, it only shows the top 10 on the first page of this website, and Wales aren't there. So I think, yeah, Argentina seems to be the sensible landing spot. Wales are 11th at the moment, just up from 12th. They've just they've regained a place, but they are still 10 points, over 10 points, nearly 11 points behind Argentina in the world rankings. Anyway, Argentina are have got the Welsh culture, and they are ranked sixth currently. They're called the Pumas, and they have like a puma on their logo, which is quite cool. I know Wales have a dragon, but still, pumas are real. So yeah, I think if we're in a position where we're sticking with rugby, and we're sticking with national rugby, and that's actually, I didn't mention this in the intro, but it's a thing that I've always found as a really quite strange quirk of rugby, is that the national game seems to be held in higher esteem than the club game. And I would suggest that is kind of completely the opposite of football. I don't know why, but yeah, anyway, I digress. If we're sticking with national rugby, given the rankings, they're going to win more often. He'll be less sad, and the connections to Wales. I think you know, Patagonia, Argentina. It just makes sense. Turns out that Ian is a puma.
last pick. So we've gone down the route of changing the sport. We've gone down the route of keeping the sport and changing the nationality. I'm going to be a little bit more aligned to kind of the movie and TV stuff here, because I guess that's kind of the point of this podcast. So what I was trying to do is find a... I was trying to think of a plot for a movie where the team is turned around, right? It comes from the doldrums, and how could we apply that to Welsh rugby in a way that Ian could influence? So there's the obvious things that come out, like Moneyball, but you know, Ian's a historian, he's not a numbers guy. You've got like the Mighty Ducks, but I don't think a team of plucky young hockey players gonna turn Welsh rugby around. Stuff like Coach Carter, maybe Samuel Jackson could have some influence, I don't know. Yeah, draft day as well, which we mention a lot on this podcast. But again, I'm not sure Kevin Costner picking Welsh rugby prospects from obscurity and making some bold, risky moves in a rugby draft is going to do the trick. So I thought, right, there's got to be some other way where Ian could actually take a bit of agency here. So I was thinking, is there any kind of sports movies whereby someone kind of outside of the organization takes control, forces change, and comes to a positive outcome? And it turns out there's not really, but in 30 Rock, Tracy Jordan he stars in a fake movie. The movie is called The Owner. And the plot of The Owner is a sports team owner is kidnapped by a fan and forced to make the team better, which I feel like is kind of how Ian could approach the Welsh rugby situation. I guess we don't go for the owner because the owner's not the right... There's not necessarily an owner, let's say, of Welsh rugby. We can get into like the WRU and things like that, but I don't care enough. So we're just going to go with the coach rather than rugby. So that's a dude called Steve Tandy, who I won't lie, I've just Googled and he looks quite scary. But how would we approach this? So been a bit lazy with this one, but I've said to ChatGPT, roll the jingle, to take the fictional movie The Owner from 30 Rock, but... give me a fake plot summary where the main character, the person who's taking the hostages, is Ian Harries and swap basketball out for the Welsh rugby team. And so here it is. So, The Owner. When the Welsh Rugby Union announces another round of strategic performance realignments after a dismal Six Nations campaign, billionaire team owner Gareth Pendry, so we'll just have this as Steve Tandy, I didn't tell it to do that, remains upbeat, insisting the squad is building for 2035. His unwavering optimism enrages lifelong Welsh rugby fan Ian Harries, a mild-mannered data analyst from Carmarthen whose entire identity is tied to the national team. ChatGPT knows you too well, sir. After witnessing yet another heartbreaking loss, this time to Italy in Cardiff, Ian snaps. Using a mix of laminated flowcharts, Google Maps printouts, and an alarming level of Excel proficiency, Ian executes what the media will later call the most polite kidnapping in modern history. He abducts Tandy outside of the Principality Stadium, bundling him into a Ford Focus while apologising repeatedly for the inconvenience. Tandy awakes in a disused visitor centre in the Brecon Beacons, tied to a folding chair but provided with tea, Welsh cakes, a mood board titled The Road to Rugby Glory Draft Version 14. Ian calmly explains the situation. You're not a hostage. You're a strategic resource under forced optimization. Tandy is understandably confused. Ian presents a detailed 37-page plan to repair Welsh rugby once and for all. Among the non-negotiables are a complete coaching overhaul based on performance data Ian has tracked since 2008, mandatory caps for breakout players, including two he scouted on YouTube and one from his local touch league, a national skills academy run by a terrifying PE teacher from Clonelli, I'm going to guess that's what the two L's are.
Right, okay, so it's me again. I felt like I had to jump in again. And because this mispronunciation, which is an ironic word for me to mispronounce there, was so egregious, I have brought in an outside expert, star of the Carmarthen Panto 2025, and somebody who a week ago was literally part of the Christmas parade in the town that Graham just butchered. So, over to my wife, Alexandra George.
Hello, dear listeners, once again. Well, it is quite like Graham, as a very typical middle-class Englishman, to not do any research on a country that he deems lesser than him. Very much like a English cunt to not use any sort of critical thinking skills, because he literally says that's what the double L is, right? You are on the right track. I'll allow it. I'm not going to lie. That is a difficult part of the Welsh alphabet. But there's more than just one double fucking L in Llanelli, you twat.
Thank you, darling. And now back to the episode.
Apologies for any native Welsh speakers if I butchered that. A lifetime ban on the phrase rebuilding year, and a strict no prison rugby policy, except for the good kind of aggressive physicality. Don't really understand what that means. Tandy refuses until Ian reveals he has already drafted the press release, secured a sponsor, and scheduled a press conference. When news leaks that Tandy is missing, most of Wales assumes he simply went to ground after the Italy loss. But when Ian live streams a hostage press conference featuring a well-lit PowerPoint and slightly terrified team coach, the nation becomes enthralled. Welsh Twitter explodes with the hashtag IanKnowsBall. Phone-ins overwhelmingly support Ian's reforms. One pensioner tearfully announces, "Let him run the whole union. He's got more strategy than the lot of them." The turnaround. Tandy eventually realises Ian's plans actually work. Under duress and intermittent offers of more tea, he signs off on a modernised attacking system, a revamped player development pathway, actual analytics instead of vibes and hope, an oath from the entire squad to never lose to Italy again. The next season, the Welsh team storms Six Nations, stunning pundits with sharp plays clearly copied directly from Ian's binder. Ian becomes an underground folk hero. Tandy becomes a changed man, more humble, more analytical, and slightly traumatised by bar charts. Just as Wales prepares for a Grand Slam decider against England, police finally track down the kidnapper. Ian is arrested in the middle of rehearsing a motivational speech for the squad. In an emotional moment, Tandy steps forward and confesses he orchestrated his own kidnapping as an unconventional managerial reset. The police lost in the valley fog decide that the paperwork isn't worth it and let Ian go. On the day of the final, Wales defeats England thanks to a flawlessly executed set play Ian designed on the pub napkin called the Harry's Gambit. The stadium erupts. Ian becomes the Welsh Rugby Union's first ever director of hostage-inspired performance innovation. Tandy writes a best-selling book, Kidnapped by Excellence, How Stockholm Syndrome Saved Welsh Rugby. And Wales, for the first time in years, dares to believe again. Now that is, firstly, shows that ChatGPT is too good and knows Ian too well, even though I've not told it a huge amount about him. And secondly, feels like a means that Ian at least could take this into his own hands. If it's not changing the sport, it's not changing the nationality, actually impacting the team that is causing him so much distress and sorrow and sadness, this is the way to do it. Those are the picks. What I need to do now is figure out the podcast nobody asked for's order of that top three. So, top three. So I think if we're being realistic, as fun as the idea of Ian becoming a cult hero through kidnapping the head coach of Welsh Rugby Union team and turning the whole situation around and inspiring a book that talks about how Stockholm Syndrome saved Welsh rugby, I think that's probably the riskiest and least likely option here. So I'm going to have to put that in third. If we're looking at the top two, if it was me, I think it's you change to supporting Wrexham, purely because A, football's the better sport, and B, it's less of a geographical issue. But however, if I'm thinking with my Ian hat on, which I don't want to because it's usually a Vikings hat, we're going to go put that in second place. So the supporting Wrexham is number two. So number one overall way for Ian to improve his happiness and enjoy rugby again and stop those Welsh rugby playing bastards making him sad every Saturday or Sunday or whenever it happens, is to become Argentinian. He will have to latch on to the Welsh diaspora in Patagonia and take up the sky blue and white striped jersey of the Pumas and celebrate at least some level of success, which he hasn't endured whilst being a Welsh rugby fan, at least not for a very, very, very long time. So that was that. That was me recording on my own for the first time. It's not as easy just sitting here speaking to yourself into a microphone. Less people to bounce off of. Well, no people to bounce off of. And your voice and throat get very dry very quickly. And yeah. However, hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed that, Ian, in particular. Hope this has given you some food for thought. Looking forward to seeing you in your Argentina jersey and or Wrexham jersey and or formulating a plan to kidnap Steve Tandy. If you agreed with my suggestions, if you've got any other suggestions for how we can make Ian a happier Welsh rugby fan, message us on Blue Sky, Instagram, any of those places that we have accounts. You can find us on our website, podcastnobodyaskedfor.co.uk, and Patreon, if you want. This is a bit off the beaten track for our usual kind of episodes, and that's kind of what you got with Patreon. We have Undrafted, where we just randomly pick a top five of something there and then. We have Behind the Curtain, where we look at some of the stuff that goes on around making the podcast, and we also have the Podcast Nobody Asked For Pirates episodes, where we take a beloved existing podcast and do our own spin on it. So go to Patreon, find us, sign up, helps us with hosting and all the other wonderful things, and you can get nice merch and things like that. And wherever you're listening to this, leave us a review. 5 stars help. It gets people seen. It gets us seen. And maybe even, you know, it might get seen in Ian's new home country of Argentina. So it'd be nice to be big in Argentina. I'd like to go out there one day, probably go and watch some football, if I'm honest with you, rather than rugby. But you know, just anything to support my buddy Ian. Anyway, that was that. Don't know how to end this on my own, so see ya.
Right. Point of clarification here is due, I think. So, as Graham alluded to earlier, we just couldn't get our diaries to line up because he was super, super busy and I was busy on the one day we'd set aside to record because, if I'm honest with you, I forgot we were recording and agreed to go out and drink a load of white wine at a friend's house. So he decided, like he said, in a dream that this would be the subject and it seemed fitting and, you know, all of that stuff. He refused to tell me what it was. So I found out while editing this. And I edited this on a Friday. On the Saturday, Wales lost 73-0 to South Africa in the most pointlessly arranged international rugby fixture of all time. My rugby club probably would have got just as much out of it as Wales did. Obviously, we would have made less in ticket money, but given that they didn't sell the Principality Stadium out either, shows that, like, again, like, not to completely play into Graham's hands here, but I don't want to turn this 45-minute podcast into what could easily be over 3 hours of me complaining about how inept the WRU is, even if Steve Tandy, as Graham correctly pointed out, is a terrifying man. But yeah, I just thought it was worth pointing out that weirdly, Graham decided to talk about how to save me from Welsh rugby-induced sadness before that happened. So I don't know if that is a manifest, in which case, I mean, it's not a manifest really, because I think manifests are generally things which we didn't think would happen. Well, this, you know, the writing was on the super, super sad wall for a while. But it's great, isn't it? We've accidentally tied into what will end up being quite
a good social media thing for it, right? Like, you know, this feels like it was done in answer to that Wales-South Africa game, and now I'm slightly worried the Wales-South Africa game was done in answer to this podcast. Not that it impacts me, because obviously I am now predominantly a Wrexham and Argentina fan. But, like, seriously, I didn't even watch the game. Like, I knew it was going to be something like this, and I decided I didn't even bother. So I ended up watching the last three episodes of the latest season of Taskmaster rather than tune in and watch the Wales-South Africa game, which is fucking wild. And then when I did end up turning it over out of a sense of, like, morbid curiosity, I watched the game for about 20 seconds and South Africa scored. So I thought, fuck it. Instead of watching this, I'm just going to go help my wife pack her bag for her kind of like month off doing this panto stuff. And then in the time it took me to go upstairs, get a suitcase and come back down, South Africa has scored again. So I just switched it off and stuck on a random YouTube list. Like, what the fuck, guys? What the fuck? Like, the answer, international window's a thing, right? Like, from the outset, they knew that we would miss all of our England-based players. And that included, like, 13 of the original training squad, including our NFL lad who's decided to come back now that he realised he can't even play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, like, why arrange that game then against the toughest opposition there is, knowing that realistically the only team that we would have beaten in that August international was Japan anyway? Like, for me, I can't stress enough the shit sport I have had to sit through this weekend, because every single team I support was involved in some kind of shutout. Sure, the Scarlets were on the right side of a shutout, but Wales and then the Vikings didn't score a point between them, and that's, like, you should accidentally be able to score a point. Like it's just something that happens. You're playing at home, and, like, the Vikings weren't at home. I'm kind of getting my sadness crossed now. Like, just none of, like, I know it's just a game, but be better. Just be better, guys.
No one asked for this.